the center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. School shooting in Northern California. It happened at Feather River School of Seventh-day Adventists in Palermo, California. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honea says the gunman had had a meeting with the school's principal just before the shooting started.
Shortly after concluding that meeting, the principal heard shots being fired, heard screams, and that's when they determined or found that the two students had been shot.
The students, boys, age 5 and 6, are hospitalized. Deputies found the shooter dead from a self-inflicted gunshot. Manhunt underway in New York City for the individual who shot and killed United Healthcare chief exec Brian Thompson as he was entering a Manhattan hotel. The woman was loading merchandise into the family truck in a shopping center parking lot in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Her 7-year-old son found her handgun in the glove box, shot and killed his 2-year-old brother. This is ABC News. The Supreme Court took arguments on Tennessee's ban on gender-affirming treatment for underage people, even if their parents are okay with it. Opponents call it a luxury. Sarah Kate Ellis is chief executive GLAD.
Raw Farm of Fresno, which has been
there are things that are different and not necessary. This is life-saving medicine. We're talking about not treating people for diabetes if they're youth. If we're what are we talking about? We can't compare that to smoking cigarettes.
The justices spent quite a bit of time on this.
There are things that are.
Arguments allotted for 1 hour. They lasted 2.5 hours. The courtroom was packed to capacity. Huge demonstrations in front of the court. All of this signaling the public debate, emotional public debate around this issue.
ABC's Devin Dwyer. There are more than 300,000 American families with at least one trans member. A ruling by the court expected next year. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
At Harbor Freight, our low prices make us the place for gifts that keep on giving. Because when you give the gift of quality tools, you're giving someone the ability to fix, restore, and build for years to come. And with savings like these, you can even get something for yourself. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Stop by and give yourself the gift of great prices.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media network.
Badgers lose to Michigan. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers lost to Michigan last night, 67-64 in the Kohl Center. Wisconsin now 8-1, their first loss of the season. Greg Gard.
As I told the team, this is the lowest possession game we've had all year. So when you get in these type of games, we didn't defend the paint well. Rebounding, we gave up too many offensive rebounds in the first half. And then untimely turnovers.
The Badgers face Marquette Saturday in Milwaukee. The Bucks advance to the NBA Cup quarterfinals after a 127-107 win over the Pistons in Detroit. Damian Lillard.
Coming into this game, like, they knew it was a big game for them, but it was a big game for us too. Closer towards, you know, getting to Vegas.
NFL, the 9-3 Packers head to Detroit to face the 11-1 Lions tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football. Josh Jacobs says it'll be a showdown.
Obviously, you know, they've been rolling. They've been playing really good ball. We feel like we've been playing good ball too. You know, they're the top of the division, and that's what we hunting, so it's going to be fun.
That's Packers running back Josh Jacobs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Do you have an actor you like to watch even if he or she is in a TV show or movie that isn't great? That's how I feel about Coleman Domingo. who is the star of the show Madness. Domingo plays an outspoken TV personality who rents an Airbnb in the secluded Pennsylvania woods to work on a book, but stumbles upon a murder. He ends up fighting for his life while trying to clear his name after being framed for the crime. I can't give it rave reviews, but it's not a bad thriller, mostly because of the performance of Domingo. Season 1 of The Madness is available to stream on Netflix. Speaking of Domingo, his film Sing Sing is one of 5 nominees for Best Picture by the Independent Spirit Awards. Other nominees include the Demi Moore horror film The Substance, modern-day Cinderella critics' darling Anora, A24's I Saw the TV Glow, and Amazon MGM's Nickel Boys, which will be in theaters December 13th. Many more nominations for many more award shows will be announced right around the corner, folks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A wind advisory continues this evening for gusts higher than 40 miles an hour. Lingering flurries, otherwise mostly cloudy and cold tonight, a low near 10, wind chills below zero. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high in the low 20s, but warmer for the rest of the week and weekend. Currently, it's 12 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Caribou Coffee's Faith Flynn makes the popcorn pick of the week. Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogie talks Christmas events around the state. Then we wrap up with WBAY morning show host Emerson Lehman. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pump it up while your feet are stumping, and the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more.
Oh, wow. It's the place to listen to the radio. It's the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on that Civic Media Radio Network. We began the show today by talking about charities. Since we blew through yesterday and we didn't get to list out our favorite charities for Giving Tuesday, folks, if you are still interested in giving one of your favorite charities a shout out, please do not hesitate to do so. I will call them out through the duration of the show. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I got an absolutely fabulous text in suggesting one such charity. It is the Center for Integrity in Forensic Sciences, Madison. So, and by the way, the website for this place is CIFSjustice.org. That's CIFSjustice.org. My thanks to the texter from the 608. This organization works in strengthening forensic science to exonerate people that have been wrongly accused. I worked in the University of Wisconsin Law School's Innocence Project. I actually worked on restorative justice, which is different from exoneration work, but within that structure of the Innocence Project at the University of Wisconsin and the Frank J. Remington Center. I can just tell you this. There has been so much garbage forensic science out there. If you want to go down a complete rabbit hole that will leave you like enraged, if you need something else to be enraged about, as if there's not quite enough on a day-to-day basis, do a little poking around. There's tons of documentaries out there about this kind of stuff, like bite mark analysis. Yeah, turns out that's garbage. Burn pattern analysis, also. Lots of junk science. That's not to say that there are not practitioners or quote unquote experts in these fields that actually do this work in an objective fashion. But what has happened in a lot of these so-called pseudoscience-y forensic areas is it's basically a self-fulfilling prophecy. They sort of invent new analyses. These experts get paid to do consulting work or analyses for various police departments, and it's kind of a beast that feeds itself. We now know that eyewitness testimony, for example, is highly unreliable. All of these things have been used over many decades in and out of courtrooms to convict people, some of whom were innocent. And so looking to a place like the Center for Integrity and Forensic Sciences, to me, to help educate both police departments, but district attorney's offices, and to do the work of exoneration, I think is incredibly important. You know, I'm one of those women that thinks we need to be testing all of the rape kits that we've got, that where there are credible claims of innocence or potential innocence, there should absolutely be no reason why additional forensic testing and especially genetic testing isn't done to clarify that. So just a huge thanks to my texter from the 608 listening on WMDX for that wonderful suggestion. Again, if you have a favorite charity that you would like to shout out, please do not be afraid to text or call and let us know. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We are hoping to get Kathy. We had a caller on the line. I see somebody joining us. Cardi's going to give them a screen here. But there were a few other bits that I wanted to get through this afternoon. My big thanks again to Christina Reynolds, Senior VP for Communications and Content at Emily's List, talking about all the things that we've got to be hopeful about and to look forward to and the things that we should continue to fight for. I'm going to give you some specific kind of emotional resilience tips in just a moment, but I did want to talk with you, Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What would you like to say this afternoon, my friend?
Oh, hi, Maggie. Thanks. I love your show. I was listening today, and this is more or less a civics 101 comment, kind of basic, but I just wanted to put out there how important it is to call our senators. You know, leave a message with their assistant. You know, it's our constitutional right. You know, we leave a message for Ron Johnson, leave a message for Tammy Baldwin on new issues. You know, like with the Trump cabinet appointments. And I just feel like one call isn't going to change everything, but if a lot of us are calling or, you know, writing, it can make a difference. They work for us.
So that's
what I intend to do going forward.
Absolutely, Kathy. Do you have a pen or paper ready? Because I'm going to give you Senator Ron Johnson's phone number for his D.C. office.
I do have his number, Maggie.
Okay, great. Well, I'll give it to everybody on the air. Thanks so much for listening and calling, Kathy. A happy holiday season to you and yours. Here's Ron Johnson's phone number in D.C. Everybody, write it down. Call Ron every day. 202-224-5323. 202-224-5323. Call him up and tell him that you think Pete Hegseth needs to go down in a blaze of glory. Call him up and tell him that Linda McMahon, who was sued for allegedly enabling sexual abuse of children, should be nowhere near the Department of Education. Call Ron Johnson up at 202-224-5323 and tell them that a vaccine conspiracy theorist like RFK should not head up the Department of Health and Human Services. Call up Senator Ron Johnson at 202-224-5323 and tell them that vaccine skeptics have no business running the National Institutes of Health. Tell them that QAnon followers like Cash Money, dollar sign Patel should not be running the FBI. We can get involved. That's one way. Taking those little actions, in fact, can help you be more emotionally resilient in these times. So I did want to share with you, this is from an article by Brad Stolberg in the New York Times called How Not to Fall into Despair. He writes about mental health and trying to achieve excellence. And he reminds us that there has been floating around for some time a term called tragic optimism, which is trying, you know, this act of trying to find meaning and maintaining hope despite what is utterly predictable and normal in human life, which is there will be inevitably in all of our lives pain, loss, and suffering. And figuring out how to continue to find meaning in what we do and to find hope and to share that with others helps us get through those times as human beings where we have pain and loss and suffering. And one of the things that he points out in this article is that there has kind of been this idea sold, especially to Americans, that we're supposed, there's an assumption that we're supposed to be like blissfully happy and winning all the time, right? Like if I hear somebody else give a hashtag winning, like, no, that's dumb. We have this presumption that we're supposed to be happy all the time. And actually we're not supposed to be happy all the time. If you're happy all the time, that might be something to explore and probe a little bit for yourself personally, because again, being a vulnerable person, a human being with genuine relationships is going to open you up to pain and sometimes suffering and loss. So this isn't about like embracing depression or, you know, things that are really harmful to you, but that again, we're not going to be in denial about the fact that bad things happen. And we're not going to delude ourselves into sort of a false sense or expectation of perfect happiness all the gosh darn time, because that doesn't work, right? Like either excessive optimism or excessive sort of sadness, neither of those are good. We don't want to deny that anything's wrong, yet we don't want to also say that everything is wrong, because neither of those two extremes is usually true. And fundamentally at the bottom level of this, and that's why I loved Kathy's phone call about calling Ron Johnson, is that we all have agency and choice. We all get to make decisions about how we're going to spend our time and how we're going to invest our resources and precious energy every day. And if we approach those opportunities, whether it's in political engagement or in engaging with our local favorite charity that's making an impact or with our families, when we recognize that we get to choose how we're going to spend our time and how to use our resources and energy, when we maintain our agency, that actually gives us hope. And when you have hope, guess what it can do? It reminds you that you have agency. And so I think trying to embrace that in these times is really, really important. And the last thing I'll say is this, and I talked a little bit about this after the election. For me, I had to, again, sort of look at myself and say, why is it that I like to do this work? Why do I enjoy talking about politics? And at the base of it, and some days I fail at this, and I appreciate all of you for allowing me to be imperfect and to fail some days. At the base of all of this is I am incredibly curious and I want things to be better. And my curiosity, I hope most days I can temper with some humility that I don't know all the answers. So if we can all, I think, again, maintain our agency, take some active steps, stay curious, stay humble, and stay open, and not sort of degrade into the constant whataboutism, and maintain a focus on the future, I think that can really translate into productive action, no matter what party you think you affiliate or do affiliate with more frequently, no matter what side, where you fall along the spectrum. The very specific things from the article, very briefly, that were recommended is lean into your local communities, be kind to yourself, find those small routines to help support your mental health these days, whether it's taking a walk every day, some quality time just with tunes and a good book, or your dog, like my dog, Finney, 11 and a half pounds of love and cuddles, and allowing yourself to feel sad and some loss, and yet to try to maintain hope. Take those productive actions and let's reclaim our agency together. When we come back, I'm going to complete my homework assignment and tell you about those rounding up at grocery stores. We're going to talk about the treatment of women on X. Keep it locked, everybody, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Make my day. Make my day.
News from the center, WRCE.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink?
Snowman. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Happy hump day. Hope it is going well for you. I know it is for me because I'm here with each and every one of you. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I was asked on Monday, very helpfully, I might add, to discuss rounding up at the grocery store, which is now basically, I don't know a grocery store that I go to where I'm not asked if I want to round up. And I usually do. I don't even think I think about it that much. And I know a couple of texters chimed in and said, I think this is mostly a tax dodge for grocery stores. So I think the two questions here are, is this actually like helping the charities? And if so, to what extent? And secondly, is this legit or is there a whiff of suspicious activity? Is this actually a grift by the grocery stores to get out of paying taxes somehow? So I went to the Tax Policy Center, at the Urban Institute and Brookings Institution. And guess what? They've got a white paper on it. I love it when you all give me some homework assignments and I looked it up. So in order to donate at a point of sale, like a grocery store roundup, the corporation has got to enter into an agreement with whatever that charity is. And usually those agreements, those arrangements have to be registered under state law. They do in the state of Wisconsin. So you can actually check those out. Go to the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. Got to kind of look around a little bit, poke down through the menus, but you can find those arrangements. And corporations can deduct their direct charitable giving. So like if a corporation takes a portion of its net revenue and gives it to charity, they can deduct that, reducing their overall taxable income in the year of the donation up to 10% of their actual taxable income in a given year. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of a tangent here because that is pretty fascinating. And there are some charities that get set up basically to like create jobs for famous people's relatives and things that never actually generate any taxable income because they run very thin and they spend all of their donations on basically, quote, administrative expenses, which means overblown salaries for people that don't do a whole lot. So just a caveat there. But that is not the grocery store using the Roundup to somehow reduce their taxable taxable income. As long as the business is following the law, it has zero impact on the grocery store's income taxes. Again, this is according to the Tax Policy Center, which is affiliated and run by the Urban Institute and the Brookings Institution. That is the upshot. So no, there's nothing nefarious going on with the Roundup. And in fact, these rounding up things have raised nearly $500 million for the nonprofit sector in 2022. That was the last year that there was good, reportable, reliable data. $500 million for the nonprofit sector. That's a huge amount of money. In other words, those small rounding up things does make over time. And with all those pennies, it adds up and it does make an impact. One of the reasons, and I just wanted to mention this because this is fascinating, especially for folks like myself that have a nerdy pastime of both economics and behavioral economics, is this. People are more likely to round up than they are to say yes if you ask someone to donate a dollar. And here is the reason why. You and me and all humans perceive loss much more acutely than potential upsides or, frankly, like positive things overall. So we are less likely to respond, yes, I will give you a dollar, because our brain is registering that as a loss, when that is compared to, would you just round up? Which is, doesn't, your brain doesn't perceive that as a loss. It's just a couple extra pennies, no big deal. It doesn't register as loss. They've actually run studies on this. Yes, of course, everybody, I went down the rabbit hole with my homework assignment and found out that indeed, yes, they've run some studies on this. This researcher did a study at the St. Louis Zoo that compared exactly those two things. Hey, would you give a dollar to support the zoo or would you round up? And when they just did the rounding up, their total contribution levels went up 21% as compared to direct solicitation of, would you give a dollar to help the penguins or whatever it was at the St. Louis Zoo? So I have now completed my homework assignment. I feel good about that. Folks, you can always give me more fantastic homework assignments by calling or texting 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Mark from Prairie du Sac pointing out that, yeah, he sees rounding up at so many places now. My local Ace Hardware usually has it. I have seen it at Walgreens. Yep, it's all over now. I think a lot of people are kind of having a little bit of rounding up fatigue, if you will. It's kind of like the tipping screens that are coming up now. But again, to just address those issues, yeah, the rounding up is having big, big economic impacts. Nearly $500 million in 2022 alone. Wow. And yeah, the corporations, it's not a tax dodge as long as they're actually following the law. And there should be with it within each of your states here in the state of Wisconsin, those agreements between the charities and the businesses should be filed with the state regulatory agencies. Having done my homework assignment for the week from you, our lovely listeners, we come back. I'm going to talk about Women on X, and then we're going to talk a little bit about how do we actually hold government accountable? What does that mean? What should we be looking at? How do we know if it's working? All that coming up right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked and join our conversation because we're all about real news and great conversation. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
He's in control, he's my lover.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. School shooting in Northern California. It happened at Feather River School of Seventh-day Adventists in Palermo, California. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honea says the gunman had had a meeting with the school's principal just before the shooting started.
Shortly after concluding that meeting, the principal heard shots being fired, heard screams, and that's when they determined or found that the two students had been shot.
The students, boys aged 5 and 6, are hospitalized. Deputies found the shooter dead from a self-inflicted gunshot. Manhunt underway in New York City for the individual who shot and killed United Healthcare chief exec Brian Thompson as he was entering a Manhattan hotel. The woman was loading merchandise into the family truck in a shopping center parking lot in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Her 7-year-old son found her handgun in the glove box, shot and killed his 2-year-old brother. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Badgers lose to Michigan. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers lost to Michigan last night, 67-64 in the Kohl Center. Wisconsin now 8-1, their first loss of the season. Greg Gard.
As I told the team, this is the lowest possession game we've had all year. So when you get in these type of games, we didn't defend the paint well. Rebounding, we gave up too many offensive rebounds in the first half, and then untimely turnovers.
The Badgers face Marquette Saturday in Milwaukee. The Bucks advance to the NBA Cup quarterfinals after a 127-107 win over the Pistons in Detroit. Damian Lillard.
Coming into this game, like, they knew it was a big game for them, but it was a big game for us too. Closer towards, you know, getting to Vegas.
NFL, the 9-3 Packers head to Detroit to face the 11-1 Lions tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football. Josh Jacobs says it'll be a showdown.
Obviously, you know, they've been rolling. They've been playing really good ball. We feel like we've been playing good ball too. You know, they the top of the division, and that's what we hunting, so it's going to be fun.
That's Packers running back Josh Jacobs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If it's huge blockbusters or holiday films you're looking for in theaters this weekend, you will have to see films that are already released. But if you're not ready to throw yourself into the world of holiday films just yet, or are in the mood for some offbeat, quirky flicks, this could be your weekend. Comedy sci-fi Y2K rolls out Friday and takes us back to 1999, when the world was in a panic over what would happen when the clock struck midnight on New Year's Eve. The film follows two high schoolers who crash a New Year's Eve party and end up fighting for their lives. If you're in the mood for a Lou Diamond Phillips movie, and who isn't, check out the horror film Werewolves, which also stars Frank Grillo, but has not yet been reviewed. So beware. If you're looking for a comedy horror, the film Night opens this week in wide release as well. The film stars Amy Adams playing a mom who takes time off work to stay home with her kids, but finds herself turning into a dog. I did not misspeak. Despite the offbeat storyline, the film is pulling a 63 on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds for the overnight and gusty northwest winds up around 40 and 45 miles per hour. Low temperatures dropping to the upper single digit, but the wind chill down around 10 below. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies developing, still breezy with highs in the lower 20s. It's 12 at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project and a Green Bay Packer owner, will be here to talk politics and preview the Packers. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. too.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
How y'all doing? Happy Hump Day Wednesday. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us this last half hour, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And be sure to take Civic Media everywhere you go by downloading the Civic Media app. It is free. You can get it wherever you like to get your apps from. For your Android device or your iPhone, whatever it may be, and give it away free to all your friends and family members for the holidays. Give them a little forward. Happy holidays. Here's a good place to get real news and great conversation every single day. I came across an article discussing the treatment of women on X, and I had a bit of a tete-a-tete yesterday, not during my show, but I stuck around with Dom Salvia, who's got the great show that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. A guy called up because we were talking about the sexual assault allegations and police reports and cases that have been filed against a number of the people that Donald Trump has appointed to these really high-level cabinet positions. And the first thing I wanted to just point out is because the caller was really angry that, like, these people haven't been convicted of any crimes and you're maligning them. And these are just accusations and there's no eyewitness testimony. They were all also ticked because they said Donald Trump was civilly convicted when I should have said Donald Trump was held civilly liable for sexual assault or rape. Anyways, and I needed to make this point, but the caller's vitriol and sort of anger at me in particular, and he kept calling me basically a dummy and you don't know anything about the law. It was really personal. It was quite an attack. And there were two things that I wanted to point out about that. And the first one was, we're not talking about taking away the liberty of these people, right? We're not talking about incarcerating them. We're talking about, do they get even more privileges, even more power? Do they get, in effect, a promotion and power over some of the most well-funded and powerful agencies in the world, right? And so there's a reason that the standard or the burden of proof in criminal cases is beyond a reasonable doubt. And that's because you're taking things, you're taking someone's liberty away. You're locking them up. That same standard of proof does not and should not apply when we're talking about whether or not somebody gets conferred an enormous benefit, fame, fortune, and power. Of course, we needn't prove these things beyond a reasonable doubt. In fact, I would argue that both for Supreme Court appointments under Article 3, which are lifetime appointments and decide the rights and privileges of fellow citizens, both in those instances and for these highest level cabinet picks, that we should actually employ the lowest burden of proof and the highest standard of character and conduct that we could ever envision. And the reason is that in the case of Article 3 federal court judges, they sit for a lifetime and they decide the rights and privileges of all of us. And so it is appropriate that people that enjoy that sort of power for the rest of their lives should be held to the absolute highest standards of competency, character, and conduct, higher perhaps even than the president, him or herself. And when it comes to cabinet-level departments, executive branch agency departments in our federal government, like education, like the Secretary of Defense, like the attorney general, like the head of the FBI, that will have the ability to control the quality of life, whether or not certain people's privacy is invaded. Again, here too, when you wield power at this level, when you can control Americans' lives based on your decision, again, I will just humbly suggest and offer to each of you that we should have the lowest standard of proof and the highest standards imaginable of competency, character, and conduct. And that should apply whether it is Democrats or Republicans that are president. I think that should be a standard that we all should agree on going forward. Maybe we need to enact some laws about this, and maybe we need to apply them equally to all nominees, to all candidates, and certainly to all Article III federal judicial appointments. Now, this standard of conduct, of course, would have eliminated a man like Donald Trump from being president. It probably would also eliminate a guy like Bill Clinton from being president. And that's okay. That's okay. So this is not a standard that I want to waver or change depending on who sits in the Oval Office or who the nominee is. And it's a standard that, frankly, I would not want myself or my entire life to be subject to. And that's okay. It is okay to demand absolutely extraordinary character, competence, and past conduct from people in these highest offices. It's not just okay. It should be what we aim for. And if we agree that this should be what we aim for, that this should be the standard, regardless of who the nominees are or who the president might be, then we can maybe move past the whataboutism and the constant calls of hypocrisy that we level at one another seemingly all day long. But the guy's anger yesterday, specifically directed at me, it was less at Dominic, whose show it was, but it was very much at me. Now, Dom and Jess P.S. ably retorted that caller for a goodly amount of time yesterday. But it reminded me of the fact that studies that have tracked conduct on the X platform, what used to be called Twitter, have found absolutely indisputable evidence that women are basically being harassed and trolled at exploding rates on the Twitter platform. And just late last month, perhaps a really perfect distilled example of this occurred. A woman posted a photo of herself holding her PhD thesis. This was on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, along with the announcement that she had just successfully defended her PhD dissertation, which is a huge deal. There are a lot of people who have completed all their coursework for a PhD, but it's everything but dissertation, the EBD. They haven't got the dissertation done. And she just said this: thrilled to say I passed via my Viva with no corrections, and I am officially PhD done. And the right and the bros freaked out. This woman is why everything is falling apart, began one poster. This is why there is the degradation of Western civilization. Of course, the implication that women getting an education or attaining the highest level of educational attainment somehow degrades civilization, a spurious proposition at best. They went on, quote, she got a PhD for this, and from the looks of her, she probably believes that this entitles her to an extremely high status lifestyle. Remember this when they tell you that women are, quote, beating men at getting an education. Crow's feet and no children, said another poster. You literally have lived in the most advantaged time in all of human history for women, and after 40 years have literally nothing of any real value to show for it, and your bloodline will end with you due to your need to stick it to the evil man by getting an education. This is so bizarre to me. Why is my advocacy of high standards of character, conduct, and competence for presidential appointees, my opposition to people credibly accused for sexual assault, or my attainment of postgraduate degrees. Why is that threatening to men? Can somebody explain that? Oh, wait, we do have someone on the line, but I'm not going to ask him. CJ, I'm sorry, I'm not taking your call today, my friend. I do not fundamentally understand, other than the most Cro-Magnon retrograde justifications imaginable, why saying people credibly accused of sexual assault probably shouldn't be Supreme Court justices or run the Defense Department. Like, why is that so enraging to men? Why were men so ticked off by this completely anodyne post by this woman who got a PhD? Why is it necessary for you to freak out? Is the male ego seriously this fragile? And if it is, I have a question for you, because it seems to me that Donald Trump has been Mr. Tough Guy for so long, right? Like, yep, we're fighting for men and the heteronormative cisgendered patriarchy, and that's good, and it's the fabric of Western society. If you all are so gosh darn tough, then why don't you just shut up about it? Like, why the constant screaming and whining and shouting down of women? Why degrade women, right? Like, I don't understand. If you're so much better, if you're so tough, it just doesn't follow logically why you find it necessary to troll women on freaking X. Call me up on the phone and troll me. At least the guy yesterday had the cojones to do that. I'll give him credit for that. You know, all of this at the end is about power. And the last time I checked, the United States still hasn't elected a woman president. You look at Fortune 50 companies, very few female CEOs. Like, guys, you still hold the purse strings and the majority of the reins of power. Like, women aren't replacing you. Black and brown folk aren't replacing you. Chill the frick out. I just don't understand the freaking out on a very basic level. Because when you whine about stuff like this, I think it just goes to show how weak you are, how fragile your ego is, how unprepared to have an argument on the merits you are. Because if you want to join issue, great, let's join issue and have the fight. You want to talk about which president got more done for the middle class and working people? Great, let's have that discussion. You want to say Democrats haven't done enough? I agree. But guess what they haven't done? They don't propose things like tax cuts for billionaires and corporate welfare. Those aren't Democratic principles. Meaning, capital D, Democratic principles, meaning of the party. That's not what we run on. So It's just been an incredibly sad and kind of pathetic time when I see what I'm just going to call, like, the broverse going after women in this way. Like, quit making it about gender, right? Like, if you don't want to make it about gender, stop making it about gender and let's actually have the arguments. But that seems to be beyond the pale. I often find it ironic that CJ can't argue with me about the thing that I want to argue about. Why do you want to change the topic all the time? And here's the most interesting thing about the phenomena that we're seeing on X. Remember when Elon Musk bought X? It was like, I'm going to return free speech to this platform. But he's done the exact opposite of that. We know that he's rewritten and directed people at X to rewrite the algorithms to promote particular content. That's not free speech. That's not letting the marketplace of ideas filter out what are the best ideas or the most interesting ones. You're manipulating that. We know that he's rewritten or directed others to rewrite the algorithms to suppress left-leaning content and elevate the broverse. That ain't free speech. That's manipulated speech. Oh, and by the way, just so you ladies know out there, and gentlemen as well, X recently changed its blocking function so that blocked users can still see the posts of the person that blocked them, which makes it easier for stalkers and harassers to keep tabs on women and others. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about accountability in government, what it means and how we do it. On the Maggie Dawn Show, your calls and texts are welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Keep it locked.
News from the center, WRCE.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it. All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. If you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Top of the hour, we'll bring on Dom Salvia. He's got the great show that follows mine from 4 to 6 p.m. every day. We've been talking about what I'm going to call the whiny broverse, which seems to freak out like every time a woman gets a PhD or decides not to have kids, as if that's some sort of like deep cultural offense. You know, women making choices about whether or not to have children, get married, and how much education they'd like to acquire. I think on balance, we should all have those choices. And there's, you know, there's this whole movement on the Christian far right for like the trad wife, meaning like the traditional wife that stays at home and makes handmade, homemade snacks. And like all that's fine. I don't see highly educated women en masse, like denigrating women who want to stay at home. Like that's work too. It needs to be respected. That's a great choice too. We don't have to have like these false choices that one thing is good and the other is bad. It just seems so counterproductive. And I also want to point out that like men seem to want to have it like in all different kinds of ways. You know, like women, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And I think that that's a little unfair. And by that, I mean, you know, men want women to be attractive and, you know, respectful and supportive, but only in particular ways. It's kind of like, can we just throw that old playbook out and move on, please? Like women have a place in our society just as men do. And you don't get to tell all women, you know, what they can and cannot be. At least you shouldn't be able to, even though They seem to think they should be able to control our bodies. A little frustrating. Joe from Madison, how are you, my friend? And what would you like to share this afternoon?
I think this discussion is worthy of several hours. I mean, it is just a fascinating time in our life with where people feel free to denigrate whether you would know. I didn't hear the conversation, but it makes me laugh that somebody would be angry at you and saying you're not understanding the law when I believe you have a degree in law and worked as a lawyer for quite a number of years, correct?
I mean, yes. I think he was trying to make a lot of hay out of the fact that, frankly, I did use an incorrect technical term. I said civilly convicted, which lends itself to making it sound like criminal. But I fully acknowledge that and said, yeah, he was civilly liable for rape. But yes, Joe, he was having a little bit of a freak out. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I think all you can say is just, you know, sit down now and put a cold compress on your head. It'll pass. Really, it will get better. And I don't know. What strikes me oftentimes is men who feel free to be denigrating the looks of women and talking about crow feet. And this is, you haven't done anything but a PhD and you're 40 years old and a loser and all. I wonder if those men have daughters. And I wonder if they have granddaughters. And are they okay with that? Would they be okay with that kind of language being dumped on their progeny about the dreams and wishes of those young women? I find it kind of amazing, and I still find it kind of amazing that Trump has been a guy who is the language of grabbing by the pee has been a part of who he is. People know who he is, yet men and women have voted for him. And I just think if that were your daughter who was caught in a room with him, if that were your granddaughter who were caught in a room with him, would you be okay about those kinds of assaults by a big rich guy who, I'm sorry, didn't work for it? Daddy wrote a big check, and it's true for Elon Musk that daddy wrote a big check. Yep. And there are a lot of
people in that Emerald miner from South Africa. Yep.
Yeah, here to tell us how we should cut Social Security, and everybody's going to have to take a haircut. Of course, we don't talk about whether he's taking a haircut with any of his payments to Tesla at all. Instead, it's supposed to be just those of us who are looking forward to having Social Security and Medicare at the end of a long, long time of working and having money taken out of paychecks. So I find the question of would you be okay if your daughter went through this? Would you be okay if your wife was, people denigrated your wife? Let's say she got an RN and she posted it and was, you know, really proud about finishing a 4-year program and being an RN. And people got on Facebook and said, my God, look at her face. She looks like hell.
Yeah.
Would you be okay with that? And I guess to me, that's the place that hopefully would make a connection to men who seem, those men who feel so seemingly full of anger to say, what if it was your daughter? What if it was your wife? Are you okay with that language being used? And I don't know how else to get the point across, Maggie. I really don't. And I think it is really worth a discussion, because as we're heading into this time, I just sense this great freedom for men to be quite angry and to say some just horrendous things of, you know, your body, my choice forever, that kind of thing. And does everybody have to be armed to respond to that? This can't be the way that we are to go forward. It just can't be. So thanks for bringing up the topic, and I hope we return to it, because it feels like there's a lot of anger by women and men, but particularly men over this issue. But I'm seeing more and more women having this sense of just, man, time to arm up. I've had it. So it definitely is worth bringing up again and talking about more. Thanks a lot, Maggie. I really appreciate the opportunity to add my thoughts to the discussion.
Thanks so much, Joe. Michaela from West Bend also weighing in, agreeing. She said she's seeing a lot of traditional wives judging and putting down women who have chosen a different path. Ladies, can we start hating each other a little bit? Like, we all ain't the problem. I'm just saying, stand up for one another, like stand up for choices about how you want to live your life. I thought that was kind of an American ideal, because I will stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'll be back tomorrow with Tom Paulswitz. Dom Salvia's up next. Don't go anywhere, folks. Right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram Jr. will join me. Are democracies around the world under threat, or is democracy just old-fashioned? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Dom Selvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.